Welcome back, friends. We're looking at attributes of the Holy Family. And the next big concept I'd like to take up would be in terms of acting in accord with God's will. Our Blessed Mother and Joseph listen to Jesus' response to their question, and they accepted it. They didn't give him a hard time for it. Mm-hmm. And additionally, Mary chose to ponder it within her heart.
Right.
So she took a correction, and I do not mean by any stretch of a correction in terms of there may have been a deficiency in perhaps understanding his full mission, right? That there had to have been something that she missed, but not a deficiency in terms of anything sinful or lacking in grace,
right?
But in terms of,
well, she was not a prophetess. I mean, Mary was not a prophetess. She had no gifts for the future. You know what I mean? She's
no.
Right.
So she has to come into a greater and greater right. understanding of the mission of her son.
Right.
And that's what that pondering within herself, his response to her was.
Right.
This. Attending to the divine will was rooted in a serene trust, mm-hmm. serene mm-hmm. trust, confidence, and love. There was a profound peace that they both had in the midst of loss, suffering, and even death. And it is this peace which the Lord gives. So if our Lord's giving away peace to, you know, one and all here, certainly he gave it to Our Lady. And to her foster father as well. And it's a peace that the world, the circumstances of our lives cannot take away. And it's that peace, which is that profound peace, that is the bedrock of confidence, which is the antidote to fear for Mary and Joseph.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of people will, you know, like that song that always comes out this time of year, Mary, did you know? Right. Well, I mean, what does it mean to know in that sense? The Archangel Gabriel obviously informed her of who her son was going to be. She knew exactly that he was going to be the Son of God, that it was going to be the Holy Spirit who's going to come and overshadow her. She knew all of that. And Mary was, as you said before, she was incredibly pious, which would have meant that she would have been, insofar as it was her obligation as a Jewish woman, she would have known all the scriptures. Pious legend believes that she was raised in the temple, right? That she was consecrated to the temple as a child, and that she would have been raised with all of the instructions and skills that would have been necessary to a young woman who was going to be consecrated to the temple. And so she would have known what Isaiah said about the suffering servant. She would have known all of those things. And those are the things upon which she would have pondered. Could she have foreseen the crucifix? Could she have known that he was going to suffer and die on a cross? Well, maybe she could have extrapolated that, because for us, in hindsight, after we see what our Lord did, we can look back at Isaiah and we can see all of the indicators that make it so reasonable to understand that. So knowing the time that she lived in, knowing the types of ways that people would have been put to death at that time, she was not unfamiliar with those things. And so consequently, it's entirely possible that over time and over contemplation and meditation and prayer and bringing these things, in her prayer life, which I'm sure was very, very deep, she would have grown daily. And she walked with our Lord. Like all of the conversations that our Lord had with the apostles, you know, telling them that he had to suffer and that the Son of Man was going to have to die, like all of those things that he gave to the apostles to prepare them. He knew that it was going to be the Blessed Mother who stood underneath the cross, right? The Stabat Mater, standing beneath the cross, sorrowful mother. And he would have prepared her for that.
Oh, he would have. Absolutely. Absolutely. So practical suggestions of how to foster a home that mirrors, right? Because that's what the church has always proposed that the Holy Family is this model. So in what way is that? Catechism 2252, second edition. The first, so to parents, they have the first responsibility to educate their children in the faith, prayer, and all of the virtues. And we see that clearly with Mary and Joseph teaching our Lord with the Jewish piety. Coupled very close to that would be section 2253. Parents should respect and encourage their children's vocations. How much undue sorrow is brought into a family when parents... this is my reflection. This is from the Catechism. How much undue sorrow is brought into a family when parents live vicariously through their children? So my thought... Yes, we want... Some parents want to live through their children. And so the children themselves may have a vocation to the religious life or a vocation to various other things. But the parents themselves are a hindrance to that which the Lord is calling them because of their own pride, their own desire to live through their children. Mm-hmm. And I think student debt is one manifestation of this profound problem. They would rather have the ability to say my child went to XYZ school and sign them up for all sorts of debt because in their minds they think there is a greater status to say that. And so that's instead of perhaps looking with more prudence. Maybe our young man or young lady doesn't want to do that. Maybe they want a different sort of path. And, you know, I think debt is, I think student debt has a root very much in that. And I've heard people in their older age lament how they, in a wistful kind of way, they kind of regret not doing that which they would have liked to have done, but they did, you know, with their parents wanting them to do, to get that approval. And I'm not saying that there isn't moderation because youth can have rashful judgments, but that's where that prayer and learning to discern the voice of the Lord is so critically important between is the vocation of God or is, am I working through my own desire of pride and stature, status, seeking symbols?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a lot of those things, you know, that would go back to, you know, St. Augustine saying, you know, my soul is restless until it rests in you, right? So we have undeniably, and there's, and if there was any bishop or any priest who denied this, then he's delusional. There is a massive crisis of faith that is going on right now. And a lot of that can be laid at those people who did not instruct children appropriately, right? I mean, so now we have 2, 3, 4 generations of children, well, we're probably on the 4th generation, of very poorly catechized Catholics. And so consequently, when you cannot, I mean, I think that the vast majority of people that we're dealing with don't even have an understanding of what it would mean to discern a vocation. That doesn't have no awareness in their own recollection. That they just think that you go about your business, you know, this is what you do. You go to high school, then you go to college, taking on debt. It's not even, they don't even stop to pause to think about why they're doing it. They just do it because that's what seems to be accepted as the right thing to do. And, you know, unfortunately we have a lot of dead bodies floating with the river, right? They're just floating because they don't, because they're really, their grace really does not reside within them. And not only because, I mean, and this is where we have great hope in God that he actually does resurrect dead bodies, right? Because so few people have been giving truth and life to these people. I mean, and eventually a crisis will come, I do think. Like right now, I mean, you know, we've reached the point, I think, among a lot of people who recognize that something must be done about this debt crisis, right? They've recognized that, but they can't name the solution. They think that the solution is going to be to have the government pay off their loans.
That's right.
So, it tends back to this, to these councils, right? These attributes of the Holy Family, that none of them, you know, if you don't first practice piety, you know, in the order that you gave these, if you're not practicing piety, if you're not practicing filial obedience, if you're not practicing a right order of affection, then almost all of these things are going to come to a point of crisis. Whereas with the Blessed Mother, many of the things that she experienced could have equally been, quote unquote, points of crisis. But for her, they were always, they never became a crisis because of her deep and abiding faith and that peace that, you know, passes all understanding.
That's right. All right, my friends, we'll pick up continuing on practical applications of the Holy Family. Till the next time, fides ad ratio.